Thank you very much. Today I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about the preliminary work that we had done in assessing the types of phosphorus minerals that might be precipitating out in river sediments. We're taking the James River in Virginia, near Richmond area, as an example for that kind of site assessment. The authors in here, the co-authors, C.J. Bronick was a postdoc student in there. Mr. Whitehead is a laboratory technician, and myself at the Virginia State University. As an introduction, we all know that phosphorus is an essential element necessary for both plants and animals. However, we have also problems associated with phosphorus in environmental quality, primarily associated with eutrophication of rivers. And we also understand that pH does control or govern the speciation, solubility, mobility, precipitation of phosphorus in river sediments. And however, we need some more information on how the pH-dependent distribution of these species of phosphorus can be interpreted in the form of solubility, complexation, and sorption of phosphorus in these systems. The predominant form of phosphorus that we find in soluble forms are H2PO4 and HPO42-. If we look at the basic chemistry of phosphorus, we can tell that using solubility equilibrium and some acid constants, we can calculate the total phosphorus that we can find under specific conditions of pH, temperature, and other elemental concentrations such as calcium and so forth. So in this case, then, we can compute the P total, the total phosphorus for pure aluminum phosphate, for example, in contact with pure water at a defined pH and either acid or base. And similar type of computation can also be done for other forms of phosphorus, such as aluminum phosphorus and iron phosphate types. Now, if we look at the solubility of metal phosphorus in general, we can see these kind of relationships where we have molar solution concentration in here versus pH, that strangite, which is the iron phosphate, and aluminum phosphate, these are predominantly the types of phosphorus precipitates that you would expect to be found under lower pH conditions. Now, under neutral pH conditions, then we can have hydroxyphosphate types of aluminum and iron as well. Then when you go up in the pH range, then you have all kinds of calcium phosphates that would be precipitating in that area, in that range. Now, what the objectives for these preliminary studies that we have done was to understand the conditions, the natural conditions under which that phosphorus might precipitate, and what kind of support evidence can we find in the dissolution of minerals that might be formed in river sediments. To also evaluate the conditions under control condition, experimental conditions by which sediment-bound phosphorus could be made available. And then we used some orthodox type of tools such as the scanning electron microscopy and intake, and combined that with ArcGIS to really elucidate or come up with the forms of phosphorus that might be found in James River sediments. Here is a sampling site. If that's Virginia, That's the sampling site. If you expand that, then you find this is James River passing through Richmond area. And then here's our sampling site. Primarily our research, our today's presentation will be from site one, which we call Curl's Neck, because it curls like a neck. And then we have the second site and the third site. James River is, of course, a major river that tributary that empties into the Chesapeake Bay. And therefore, its phosphorus load is a primary concern for that region. So that's the reason why we wanted to study this area in that process. The sampling process takes effect with construction of PVC tube, splitting it into half, opening it up, so to speak, and then tying it again with tape to make it as a whole, so it will be easier to open later on. And then on top here you have caps, and the bottom also you have caps. So this is a yard or so. So we hired a scuba diver to go down into the river and sample these sediments. So the sediment looks like this. If you open it up, that's what it looks like. And then we did some aerobic anaerobic microcosm studies in the laboratory, where we used mason jars in here, tied to them spaghetti of tubes in here with heater stirrer system in here. Much clearer if you look at the diagram in here. So you have more or less gas going in, inert gas or oxygen or so to look at the either the aerobic or anaerobic conditions. We have EH, pH probe. We have dissolved oxygen probe, pH probe in here. And then we have a gas outlet where we have stirrer and so forth. So we have this kind of setup that we made in the laboratory to look at two conditions, aerobic and anaerobic. This is electron microscopy or micrograph where we took particles and looked at under the microscope where it was mounted on aluminum stub and coated it with carbon. We viewed the sample in a Hitachi field emission microscopy where it shows you what the particle looks like under, I think it was 5,000 times the magnification. Now the ArcGIS special analyst is not really my field, but Dr. Baker from Michigan State was there to help us out in here. So she did the spectral mapping with digitized GIS, where she had pixels or pictures of 167 micron to 100 by 167 micron spacing in there, and used a factor analysis where phosphorus is looked at the different pixels and the neighborhood or other types of phosphorus particle attachments that might be present in the neighborhood. Now, she did a 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, and 12 pixels. A pixel is about 1 micrometer square. So 12 pixels would be 12 micrometer square. So we have a highest value of significance found in larger neighborhoods of 12 pixels in total. For example, this is what a neighborhood analysis of pixel might look like. If phosphorus is in the middle in here, and then you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, either way, north, south, east, west, that is what the neighborhood would be associated with. So each particle of phosphorus will be compared to the other pixels, the other components that might be attached to phosphorus as well, other elements. Then we use the speciation model. You all know this. This is a geological speciation model we've been used for a long time by Allison and Westall. And here we used it to predict the most stable bearing, phosphorus bearing minerals that might exist under different conditions of pH concentration and so forth, in the aerobic and both anaerobic conditions. In the results and discussion session, first to characterize the sediment, what it looks like. We have in depth between 0.15 and so forth down to 75 centimeters. Particle sizes we looked at, sand, silt, and clay, these are the percentages. As you can see, they are really more or less uniform, primarily a sand and clay type mixtures and sandy silt, sandy clay or something like that. But it is a very, very fine sand, not coarse sand that you'll find in there. And the elements of interest that we looked at were these, the potassium, calcium, magnesium, aluminum, iron, and manganese. And magnesium and manganese as well. So with depth in here and elemental concentration in percentages, how does that help us in analysis or assessment of the phosphorus? So we predict that phosphorus might be associated with any or in all of these elements in the sediment. Now you can tell that aluminum and iron being the most predominant concentrations in here, and these are primarily characteristics of the triassic soils that we find in the Piedmont region of Virginia, and therefore you would predict that iron also would be high in concentration. In the SEM and EDEX particle size analysis, we looked at the images, SEM images, and we predict that phosphorus would look something like that, and for example, calcium would look like that. This is the EDX spectrum, which means that you take a spot in here and do a mineral analysis on this, and you'll find these. So at different locations within this, then you'll find a different spectra of aluminum, phosphorus, and other elements that might be present in there as well. So very interesting. So you have in figure two, for example, we have iron and you have potassium. The R's are the radii, which means the pixels, 1 through 12. The same thing with magnesium as well in this respect. So you will find these to be characteristics of illumination, so to speak, in the SEM pictures that you would see. Brightness and abundance of these images, the more, the brighter it is, then the more affinity it would have with the phosphorus the way it is characterized. So in this case, you will see that we have high aluminum concentrations in here and also iron concentrations in here, with potassium also showing difference, both at pH 4 anaerobic and pH 8 aerobic conditions. We have high concentrations, which means more associations with aluminum and iron followed by potassium. So there will be minerals that will be formed in that respect. So Mintec predicted these minerals to exist. We have variscite, strangite, vivianite, hydroxyapatite, and also we find the same thing as nubiriite, which is magnesium phosphate as well. So both in aerobic and anaerobic conditions. So you can see some of them are decreasing in solubilities, and some of them are increasing in solubilities. So there is a characteristics in here that shows us some predictable minerals that may form or dissolve as precipitation and dissolution occurs. So in the equilibrium constant, you look at the dissolution of various phosphate minerals that we have seen with Mintec predictions, then we can see that variscite will be expected to solubilize in that form with log K associated with that, and then vivianite, strangite, hydroxyapatite, and nubiriite as well. So these are some of the predicted precipitations and or dissolutions that you would see. That Sturm and Morgan also have indicated these are common in soils that are in freshwater sediments as well. So ArcGIS-Mintec relationships predicted real well what these minerals would look like and their stability as well. So in pH 4, in factor 1, pixels, you have these minerals, elements to be in association with phosphorus. Mintec also predicted their stability and dissolution at pH 4 and at pH 8. These are some of the dissolved and precipitated forms of minerals that you would find in there. So, if we take the core samples and conclusions in site 1, which is really the only site that we have looked at so far as preliminary work, then we can see that the site which had a dairy farm long time ago, 50 years or so back, that phosphorus may be formed in these minerals as well. Might be elements might be present at high concentrations. So we have iron-aluminum association with phosphorus. pH will control some of the dissolution or mobilization of this species as well. So we also found that ArcGIS is a good tool to use for this kind of predictions, and X-ray diffraction also needs to be added in there to really elucidate the forms of phosphorus that might be present. So, thank you. And these are the people who worked on this project as well.